Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Top Flight Time Machine are going to be going on tour in early November. You will experience physical movement and emotional movement and so much more from both of us.
Bowel movement?
Maybe there'll be a little bit of bowel movement. I can't promise it, but if that's what you're looking for, we can make it happen probably. It won't be one of those things where a podcast episode is recorded in a theatre. Fuck that. This is a proper show with songs and dancing and high moments of exhilaration. So come along. Let's just quickly tell you where we're going to be. The 1st of November, we're in Brighton. 2nd of November, we're in Nottingham. The 3rd, we're in Leeds. The 5th, we're in Manchester. The 7th, we're in Glasgow. The 8th, we're in Newcastle. The 9th, we're in Birmingham. And the 10th, we're in London.
The capital.
What a finale.
It's going to be good. I think there's a few tickets left at most venues. Yep. It's going to be really exciting. It's called the Velvet Drainpipe Tour. It's going to be better than the last one,
yeah.
Which is saying something, because the last one was fucking amazing. Ask anyone who went. But this one, whoa, it's going to knock your cock off. Or if you're a lady, it will knock off your boobs.
Go to tftimemachine.com/liveshows to have a look at where you get tickets from.
There'll also be a chance to interact with us in an official capacity while we're on stage, not after the show.
In a very limited capacity. Come along, you'll love it.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the latest episode of the Yesterday's Hero Odyssey. We're covering the 1979 little-known football classic film, Yesterday's Hero, which if you want to catch up with it, you can see it on our YouTube channel, which is called TF Time Machine or Top Flight Time Machine, fuck knows, I don't know. But it's on there. Just search for it, you'll find it. The whole thing's on there.
We need to be monetizing that YouTube channel, put some more stuff on it.
Do we? Okay, I don't know how to do that, but yeah, all right.
No one knows, mate. We'll get...
Just put stuff on.
Yeah,
just
and then in the end, Sir John YouTube calls up and goes, hey, you like me, so you seem to be getting some traction on my website.
I gotta wire some dollars over to you. Lots of people are interested in what you gotta say. I've got some money for you.
But listen, this is the way it works. I've taken my pound of flesh, yeah? I wet my beak. The money comes into me. I wet my beak. The rest gets sent over to you.
It's sent down to your
less expenses. I got a few expenses along the way. This website doesn't work for free, you know.
It doesn't work itself. I gotta pay for machines to get this website working.
Plus, I gotta wire the money across to you. There's some fees involved in the transactions.
I gotta pay night shift guys to moderate the comments.
And let me tell you, there's some pretty out there comments on the content you're putting out on your channel, so they're working overtime.
When I first started up this YouTube thing, as I call it, when I first started up, it was only open from 9 to 5. But then a lot of people wanted to watch in the evenings and overnight, so I had to get the night shift guys in to keep things moving.
Yeah, but that's New York. It's the city that never sleeps. We go round the clock here, just like my local bodega. We're serving the cops through the night, the pimps, the junkies, the hookers, the freaks. They all come through here. The cab drivers.
So anyway, you've had 10,000 views of that Yesterday's Hero movie, and I owe you 19 pence. So it's on its way.
It's winging its way to you now, Limeys. I figure where you live, I could buy you a new house.
Anyway, I feel like I've taken up enough of your time already. I'm not even sure why I made this call. I got a lot more calls. A lot more 19 pence to dole out.
I like it.
I like to chat.
I'm a people person. That's why I started this whole thing up in the first place.
I was going to call it MeTube. And then I thought, no, it's for the people. I'll call it YouTube.
I want it to be friendly, have a nice atmosphere. Kind of place you can walk in, order a coffee, sit down, maybe read the sports pages. While away the afternoon.
Yeah, so it's on the YouTube. Yep. Have a look at it. Where are we up to? We just got to the bit, a few minutes in, where Rod Turner, hero of the piece, played by Ian McShane, had been on the bus back from an away game, and he got off the bus, and his manager said, I'll give you a lift home. And Rod said, no, I don't feel like going home. I feel like getting pissed.
Fair enough.
So, which is what he did, because now, next...
Rod's whole problem is he always feels like getting pissed.
And he always acts on it as well.
Yeah.
So, next scene, cuts to his rig, Rod's rig, the Rod rig, which is pretty much just a bedsit, isn't it? Considering
it's
he used
a
to
bedsit,
be
but it's wonderful. It's sort of depressing, but at the same time, you can't help but look at it and think, whoa. If my life had turned out different, I could easily see myself being quite content in a rig like that.
In that bedsit, yeah. If I was alone, if I was low a footballer, down on his luck.
Yeah, low overheads, low responsibility. He's just, you know, it's a bit of a mess. There's quite a lot of empty alcohol bottles and clothes strewn everywhere, but he's got a little telly at the end of his bed. He's got a lovely landline, old-fashioned telephone, that calls come in on quite frequently.
Yeah,
and he also
coming
just
over
has
the phone.
He has loads of memorabilia of his golden years everywhere, sort of scattered about, doesn't he? Trophies and photographs and the like.
Yeah, all of that sort of thing. So he's lying there, still with his clothes on. The TV's on. There's not really anything on it. It's just a kind of white noise and the disrupted signal of a half-watched programme. It's a cup of tea on top of the telly. I don't know when he's made that, but... There you are. He's asleep in his clothes. Enter Susan, who is, as far as we know at this point, his love interest, played by very young Glynis Barber. Oh.
Bloody hell.
bloody hell indeed. So Glynis Barber, Susan, she lets herself in and tries to wake him up. Tells him that he smells like a pig. Which is nice. He says, where were you last night? And he says, a bus broke down again. Which is a fucking pathetic excuse, isn't it? Bus broke down again. She says, liar. And he asks her what time it is. She says, it's 12:30. Which is, when you have a good Saturday night session, 12:30 p.m. is the optimum waking up time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Sunday. The morning's gone. It's pre-lunch.
If you wake up at 12:30, you probably, from memory, you probably done quite a long way to sleeping your way through the hangover.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I always found that even the worst hangovers would usually start to fade by lunchtime.
Not with me. Really bad ones would last through till the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'd have to have a nap in the afternoon. I'd sleep through till 12:30 and then need a nap, probably during the live Sky match.
But I used to get hangovers that I was, like, really sick. Really sick. Like, I mean, when I think about how bad my hangovers sometimes were, it's almost amazing that I continued to drink for as long as I did, because I used to be vomiting. Like, with a throbbing fucking head, aching all over, and, like, retching over the fucking toilet bowl. Not every time, but it was something that would happen fairly regularly. I was a puker, mate.
Sometimes it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I'd puke before bed and in the morning, sometimes several times.
Ooh,
and towards the end, I would... I mean, the only real way to sort of knock it out was to get back on it.
Yeah.
So that's quite depressing, quite a depressing tangent, but sort of relevant to yesterday's hero because, you know, Rod really is that kind of level of problem drinker. I mean, he's proper like, he carries a bottle of whiskey with him everywhere he goes.
He does. But a lot of men did that back then, or they did on TV and in films anyway.
You're right, actually.
Or you'd see fellas coming home from work, not blue-collar workers, white-collar workers would come home in sitcoms and immediately pour themselves a stiff one from the decanter at the side of the room. I'm thinking always, Jerry in The Good Life.
Think of Jerry in The Good Life when I think of that. In a lovely cut glass decanter. And when you were younger watching A Good Life, you would think that that would be you. Or at least that's what you'd hope. You'd think, when I'm older, I'm not going to keep the booze in the bottle it comes in. I'm going to pour it into a special bottle that ain't got no label and keep it on a tray on a little table. But, it's not good. But, what I used to do was I'd sometimes buy cans on the way home.
Right.
And if I couldn't wait, like, I'd pick them up at the Sainsbury's local. And from the house I was living in at the time that I'm thinking of, this is like when I'd moved to Barnes. When I lived on Ladbroke Grove, it was fine to drink in the street. No one fucking batted an eyelid. They'd probably look at you weird if you weren't drinking in the street. Do you know what? Right?
Yeah.
But then when I moved to Barnes, it was very genteel. And I would go to the Sainsbury's local when I first moved there and buy, like, sort of four cans of Cronenberg, like, on my way home. And I think I'm fucking gasping for one of these cronies. And it was only a five-minute walk. But I started getting into the habit of opening the can as I was walking out the door of Sainsbury's.
Right, yeah.
Like, with a right fucking unashamed...
That.
Right? Little bit of foam over the edge. Lovely.
Yeah.
And then if I saw someone I half knew, say another parent from the school, I'd give them a little raise the can. Do you know what I mean? Because I think if you're going to have a street drink, don't be all shame-faced about it.
Yeah.
Because then that's when it looks like you're a problem drinker.
Yeah.
So I'd be all, like that. And people would almost like, it'd be like one of those scenes in a film where someone grabs their child close to them and turns their face away.
Recoiling horror. Yeah.
A street drinker here in Barnes.
In Leafy Barnes.
And I'm like, I bet I come from Ladbroke Grove, mate. It's fucking standard practice.
That's what we do over there. Introduce it to the community here, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I would go home with the carrier bag with the other tinnies in it and just the Cronenberg, and I'd stride along drinking in the street. And I did it really because I had a problem and was like, I couldn't wait to get home to start getting it down my throat. But I also did it because I enjoyed the reaction of the locals to my street drinking.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that doing something that seemed quite inconsequential and simple could provoke quite a strong reaction from people, like I was running down the street with a gun. Do you know what I mean? I weaponized street drinking, mate. That's what I did.
You were peak 1995 Damon Albarn, weren't you?
Yeah, I'd often do Phil Daniels' monologue from Park Life as I was walking along. Confidence is a preference. Something. Park Life.
Isn't that Park Life? It's not a surprise then that you were regularly accosted by the local dealers and offered their wares.
The dealers and the roughs identified me early because they sort of thought to themselves, well, we don't get many lads like this around here. This is fertile new territory for us.
Yeah.
I thayed him on the box. He probably got a few quid as well. We'll rinse the cunt dry. And that they did.
Great stuff. So that's Rod. He is the Sam Delaney of 1979, it could be said. Glynnis Barber has let herself in, and she says it's 12:30, and he says, why didn't you wake me earlier? She says, I just got here. He says, you know I don't like to be late on a Sunday. Hold on, I'll be back. So, you know, Glynnis Barber has turned up at his bedsit, I mean, you'd assume, for a bit of nookie, and he's dashed out the door.
The setup he's got, he's really disrespectful to her. He's no show. Mm-hmm. He lies to her and she knows she's lying. And then when she does turn up, and I can't stress, if you haven't seen this film, listeners, I mean, if you thought Glynnis Barber was fit in Dempsey and Makepeace, like, imagine that, but doubled, right, in this film.
Yeah.
Right? And she's really well-spoken. She's obviously quite posh. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, she's probably going with Rod to sort of try and make a point to her dad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like a sort of a
something going on there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. And but he treats her really badly, as men in the 70s TV and films always treated their beautiful girlfriends.
Birds.
And he just goes, she's come round. And he's got a hangover. And very often you do wake up from a hangover feeling slightly triggered, right?
Yeah.
You can have that sort of hangover.
If you're not throwing up, you've probably got the horn, one of the two.
Yeah. Sometimes you do both at once.
Sometimes
why not?
Sometimes both.
And, and a shit. There's a word for that. I can't remember what it is. It's a shrank. Anyway.
Bit of the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. And, you know, Lampardin's in the Urban Dictionary now.
So, yeah, someone pointed that out, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, everybody.
Where's our cut?
I think Sir John YouTube will be on the phone with it, probably. Hello, Sir John Urban Dictionary.
This is Sir John Urban Dictionary. I'm calling from my study in Oxford.
I got your number from my friend Sir John YouTube.
Who recently gave a talk to the Oxford Union. I was going to say, but he just gets up and fucks off straight out. I mean, what a fucking lad this bloke is.
It's inexplicable. But, we might see more of Susan later on. I hope we do. So he scarpers and he's away down to the Working Men's Club, which is the Ivy League club.
I mean, you knew what was coming, but when I saw it for the first time quite recently, I was like, where is he going? He's saying, I don't like to be late on a Sunday. And I was really thinking, where can he possibly be going?
Yeah.
Where could he possibly be going that's with a hangover after a really all-night session and being confronted by the beautiful and beguiling Glynis Barber in his bedsit? What could possibly be so important? So I was really excited. And he just rocks up at his dad's Working Man's Club.
Well, there's only two places that could possibly be open at 12:30 on a Sunday lunchtime in 1979, church or a Working Man's Club or a pub. That's it. No shops. So that's the only place he could be going. But, oh, God, the whole thing of a couple of drinks before Sunday lunch, though.
Yeah, lovely.
That's a wonderful thing back then. I mean, I remember when we used to, my Nan and Granddad used to have a caravan. There was no bar there on the caravan site, no Working Men's Club. But it was de rigueur to have a couple of cans before your Sunday dinner.
Lovely.
Or my granddad it was anyway.
The good thing about drinking before a guaranteed meal is that when you go out for a drink, often what happens is you start drinking without any thought about you're going to have dinner at some point because you just think, I'm going out for a drink. And the next thing you know, you're quite pissed and you have a raging fucking appetite all of a sudden, but you're too pissed to sort of be able to work out what to do about it.
Yeah.
So you start panicking. Next thing you know, you've eaten like 5 packets of crisps or something like that. And you get drunken food panic, right?
Yeah.
But if you're drinking in advance of a guaranteed sit-down roast dinner, then you drink with a certain freedom and joie de vie that is rare.
Yeah.
Because you know you've got the safety net of the roast dinner waiting for you.
Yeah. And I think the drinking's at a slower pace than it would be of an evening as well. It's kind of
You're not slinging it back.
Noise, isn't it? Yeah.
You're not slinging it back.
Yeah.
You're treating the pint with respect. You're treating the pint like a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Gently.
So, as you say, Rod's dad is down there with his pals, one of whom is the old fella from Allo Allo, it is I, Leclerc.
He'd
appear. The master of disguise. He's one of the old fellas. So they're arguing about the team.
His dad is a regular and all his mates there, and they all support the team, Windsor.
Yeah.
They are, aren't they? Windsor United or whatever.
They're saying, all the papers are saying that he's lost it. But when we saw the match that he played the day before, there was no cunt there. So what level is he playing at and why is it in the papers on a Sunday morning? Don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm overthinking it. So,
you're thinking that. I think that it's supposed to be Division 3, the old Division 3.
Yeah.
I think both his clubs are in Division 3, but obviously the one we're going to get onto is just richer.
Paul Nicholas, the pop stars, pumped some money into it.
Yeah.
Jalapeño. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
So Rod's dad said he's the best. He always has been. He always will be. Well, he's not the best. He's playing in Division 3 now. So, you know, snap out of that.
Shut the fuck up.
Rod turns up and says hello and heads to the bar. And who's this behind the bar? Why, it's none other than Sue from EastEnders, who was married to Ali in the early years of EastEnders.
Yeah. What were they called? Not Osgood.
Osmond. Yeah. Sue and Ali Osmond.
Because they ran Oscabs out of the CAF.
Yeah,
didn't they
utilised that space brilliantly. It was a cafe, but then there was a little.
It's a hybrid you don't often see. I mean, I think actually in and they were always busy because they had to. Sue was usually knocking out the
area
chips,
in the corner, wasn't
and
there,
Ali
that
was in his little booth
for
sending the cabs out.
And then sometimes he'd have to go out and do a cab job himself. And then Sue was left with everything. Oh my god!
It was chaotic. And she had to be running between the kitchenette and the fucking cab booth, and it was chaos. You could get a whole episode out of that.
And it was only relieved when they gave a part-time job to Ian Beale.
Yes. Ian Beale
that took
there.
Some of the pressure
which
off.
Which was where we saw the first signs of Ian Beale's magnificent work ethic and entrepreneurialism.
Yeah. His empire building began there. I mean, he helped his dad out on the stall, hadn't he, on the market stall. But then working in the CAF showed a new level of ambition.
He was one of Thatcher's children, wasn't
Thatcher's
he?
Thatcher's golden boy. Yeah, Ian Beale.
Yeah, Ian Beale, Thatcher's golden boy. Exactly.
So
anyway, so the conversation with Sue Osmond is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he orders 5 pints and a scotch. So he's ordering around for the table, his dad and the mates. But then Sue takes him to task and says she's been told that morning by the boss he can't have anything else on his tab. So, as you say, it's another indicator that Rod is on hard times. He's buying drinks he can't afford. And so he, as quick as lightning, he comes back and says, well, you better make it 5 pints and a large scotch then. So he's upped his order and he pulls out, I guess it's a fiver that he pulls out.
A crisp £5, a crisp gigantic, massive, like A3 size.
It's the size of a single bed sheet, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking huge.
That was great, but then money was money. You didn't have many notes. You'd have a pound, you have a few pound notes, but a fiver was the size of a fucking,
big book. I used to sometimes get, when I first had a bank account, when I was a student, and I used to get sometimes 20 quid out, if it was like a big weekend, get 20 quid out. And you never knew what denominations the cash point was going to give you. Mm. But what you'd pray for was 4 fivers. You didn't want a 20 and you didn't want 2 tens. You want 4 fivers. Because if you had 4 fivers, you could turn it into a roll. And certainly the first one, when you're in the bar, the student bar, you could peel it off.
Could you?
Right, lick the old thumb and peel the top fiver off. There you go, straight up. Because you can't quite see that it's only four. It felt like it was like a wad.
Yeah.
It was only 4 fivers, but fivers were thicker then.
Fiver got you a long way. I remember going to the first student gig that I went to in Sunderland Polytechnic. Would have been about 88, maybe 89. It was a group called Bradford who Morrissey had championed. And it turned out they were shit. But we went along. It was like £2 on the door, something like that. And they had a special offer on 62 pence a pint all night. Your fiver goes a long way with that, doesn't it?
That's amazing.
Oh, you're looking at eight pints for a fiver.
That is amazing. Like the cheapest pint I remember having was 1.50.
Really?
Which is a hell of a lot more.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, this was the first one. But then we used to go to the Sunderland Indie Club, which was called Q Club. named after the Ibiza club with the same name, KUQ Club. And they used to do a special on a Tuesday night, which was 40 pence a pint and 20 pence a shot. And you could go a long way with your fiver that night. 40 pence a pint.
I mean, in those days, the difference between the North and South, which we still joke about sometimes, it was genuinely pronounced. I mean, it really was. I mean, my own experience was going to away games with West Ham and being astounded by the bargains on offer. But, I mean, now, let's be honest, right? I know there's still a big divide and all the rest of it, but it's little things like if you go up north or you come down south, there's not many, all the same shops exist. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You get the same chains that dominate every city centre, right? A coffee costs the same in Starbucks in Sunderland as it does in London. Yeah. Right? Because whatever, I don't know all the reasons why this happened.
Boris Johnson promised.
Well, you could say that. It's just that you've been subjected to the same rampant profiteering. I don't know. But but back then it was fucking huge. I do remember actually, now you say it, I do remember at university there was pound a pint in the student bar. But you know what they did? I'm pretty sure this is true. They made it pound a pint in daytime hours.
Ooh.
Because they'd obviously worked out, which is awful because this was on a campus, right? So the biggest problem when you live on campus in the first year, A, it's the fucking best thing ever. It's just like a right fucking laugh, right? Because you're just living with all these fucking, you're going out on the piss on the campus because there's a disco and a fucking bar and all the rest, a number of bars. And then you just stumble back to your house, which is sort of next door to the disco, right? And then when you wake up in the morning, you're living in the same house as the mates you're out with or whatever. Anyway, that's all good laugh. But the biggest problem with it was that it was quite hard to focus on getting your actual work done.
Yeah.
Because you're basically living in a holiday camp.
It's like with Maplin's, loads like of Heidi mates High, and birds. Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. So how are you supposed to, like, in the day, wake up and go, well, I'm just supposed to, on my own scene, turn up to a fucking lecture with a hangover and then go and spend the day in the library? And you're obviously like, fuck that.
It's pound a pint across the road, I'm going there.
Or the... Yeah, but the thing is, it is really bad policy because they worked out, well, we'll make beer cheaper in the day because in the night we've got no problem, everyone's in it. But to attract more custom, if we want to boost our profits, we need to attract more customs outside of evening drinkers, right? So why don't we just slash prices in the daytime? So they do, and then, of course, you're just getting fucking pissed in the day because you say to your mate at lunchtime, oh, let's go to the pub and get a sandwich. Right, pound and a pound, a fucking pound 50, you get a pint plus a cheese and toasty pickle roll. Bang. But then you have a pint, you have the taste of it, it's a pound until 6 p.m. So you just fucking keep going.
Exactly.
You're fucking, as if you're going to go, I was going to go to the library and read a fucking boring book.
I mean, if you were like completely free and devoid of all of the temptations of a student campus, you could probably do a degree in about 6 months if you put your back into it.
That is totally true. Yeah. And the thing about university, as much as I'm a big advocate of it and I had a great time and I'd recommend it to anyone, the truth is it's a massive indulgence because what you can get out of it can be great. But what you all that going away to another city and having to, like, rent a home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And pay $9,000 a year for tuition fees that you have now.
Yeah, exactly. Very often you get like a grant. Or I mean, in those days, I got a grant and and you could also get cheap loans and all of that, right? But it's like the reason you have to do all that is because you or parents have to give you or lend you, but usually give you money, right, for a lot of people. But the reason they do that is because I want to go and live in another town and city away from my mum and dad,
yeah,
right? Which... Listen, I did that, so it's hypocritical, but if you really strip it down, you sort of think, well, you don't have to fucking go and live like miles and miles away from home and rent a home and stay in that home for 3 fucking years, right? The truth is, you could go to the local university, stay at home with your mum and dad, and do it in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of degrees. Now, I'm not saying medicine or... The longest degree. Do you know what the longest degree is? I'm pretty sure this is still true.
Dentistry.
Fucking vet.
Oh, yeah. Well, because there's so many different animals, Sam.
Exactly. Yeah. Vet degree,
you've
mate.
Got to learn to do
if you think that a medical student does what, 7 years, does
something
he?
Like, that, like yeah.
Right. So you're a medical student, you have to do 7 years just to understand the ins and outs
one species.
Of the human body. Yeah. If it's 7 years for one species, how many animals are there in the world? At least 50.
It's about 200, yeah? I think.
200 animals, 200 yeah?
200 animals, yeah.
200 times 7.
So you right, should be doing many... a degree for 1,400 years to get them all. Otherwise, you're shirking yeah. it. You miss it. You're cutting corners.
Well, you can't set up a vet shop and then, like, someone comes in. Most people are coming in with cats and dogs and rabbits, yeah?
Yeah.
But one day, some cunt comes in with a fucking pelican, yeah? And you're like, you can't fucking very well turn around and go, sorry, mate, I can't, I don't know how to fix a pelican.
Pelican.
And I go, it says outside your vet, all animals dealt with. Well, yeah, within fucking reason. I wasn't expecting you to turn up with a pelican.
The fucking pelican's dying here, mate, come on. You're saving it.
We ain't got much time. Well, I'll do what I can, but I want you to sign a fucking disclaimer because if I open this cunt up with the old scalpel, I don't know what I'm going to... I mean, for all I know... The cunt could have two hearts.
I tell you what I'll do. We'll do a deal, right? I'll knock 30% off, but I'll do to the pelican what I would normally do to a dog. We're going to treat them as the same inside.
I'm going to give you the standard dog package. That's what I'm going to sell you.
But I'm going to give you a discount because obviously there's going to be some risks. It's up to you. Fucking hell. Oh, go
I
on,
mean,
then.
A pelican might have its spleen... where a dog's liver could be. I'll get a muddled up, bang.
And they're
I've
not labelled.
Fucking removed its
they might
liver.
Look different. They might look different. I've got no idea till like, I open it up and have a look. And as I said, there might be two hearts. I don't know.
Hold up there 1 minute. I'm going to go out back and see if I've got a book about it. I can quickly leaf through the old book, see if I've got a pet chapter on pelicans.
But, I mean, you say that, but fucking doctors do that. Your GP does that. You go into your GP with the symptoms and he looks the cunt up. He should know
always,
in his head what
Googling
it is,
shit.
Don't they? Or they look online now. They just go on NHS.com. I could do that.
I know.
It's fucking liberty,
GPs,
isn't it?
I mean, I better be careful. I don't want to get into the same trouble I did with the pharmacist. But you know, like the way sometimes you think GPs are basically, your GP is a bloke who knows a bloke. Because you go in, you go, all right, doc. He goes, what's the problem? I go, I got a problem with my nose. He goes, let's have a look. And if he goes, yeah, I think that is a problem, I'm going to put you in touch with this nose doctor I know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's what they do.
I know this fella, yeah. He specialises in noses.
They're
I've got
a
no
connector,
idea.
Aren't
I've only
they?
Done, I only done a 7 years standard, but he'd done the 7 years, and then he did a year and a half on noses as well, so...
Yeah, exactly. He specialises in it, see?
So, yeah, I don't know how we got to that. Where are we in this thing?
So he goes, he takes the 5 pints over
the
to the lads, but then what he does is he borrows a fiver back from his dad, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He borrows it from Mac, because Mac, his boss, the football team manager then comes into the working men's club to just increase the whole implausibility of this. But we'll cover that in the next one, because we've run out of time. So the bus
I mean,
is going
I
to
only
arrive.
Live about half an hour away from Windsor, maybe 40 minutes away. And
is that
I've,
working
I haven't
men's
been
club
since
still
school,
there?
Since an ill-fated school trip in about 1989, 1990. Yeah. They gave us the responsibility because we were fifth years and we were there doing a geography project because it was called... Did you do geography GCSE, mate?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well... If anyone did a geography GCSE, they may be familiar with the term of tourist honeypot, right? And it sounds sexy. And so we were studying the nature, the characteristics of a famous tourist honeypot,
right?
Which was Windsor.
Yeah.
So we went for the whole day and we had to go around doing questionnaires on people in the street and all the rest of it. And they said, right, you're 5 years. So at the end, it's a train straight back to London. Yeah. So you just simply all have to be on this train. You have to be on the platform 10 minutes before the train departs so we can do a register. But if you're not there, you won't. That's
and
that.
It was completely
we're not waiting.
A trust exercise, yeah?
Yeah, and I think we just got lost. We just fucked off, started fucking around in Windsor, got lost. Fucking chaos ensued. We didn't have money to get back. The school were like, there was no mobile phones. The schools were ringing. Anyway. Bad memories of Windsor for me. But now I feel like I want to go back and investigate some of the locations from yesterday's Hero, including the Working Man's Club, or especially the Working Man's Club.
We'll put it on YouTube, make 19 pence out of it. I'm thinking back
to... See, you got some new stuff that you just put up.
I'm thinking of...
This is the kind of content I've been waiting for, behind the scenes of yesterday's Hero.
You haven't stolen someone else's content. You've made some original content, so I'm prepared to up the percentage. There could be as much as 27 pence in this for you, if it's a hit.
You two remind me of that guy, KSI.
Are you awake?
You remind me of a young KSI. So full of ambition, dreams and ideas. So much energy.
And now, look at him. He's making £1.54 an hour. Amazing stuff.
That could be you.
I'm just thinking back to the school trip we did in we went to York on the bus. And
we're
allowed to just roam around York without the teachers for a couple of hours at the end of the day.
This is just, let's be honest, it's just teachers being lazy cunts.
Yeah, but we were like, we weren't fifth years, we were 12.
That's not on.
That wouldn't happen now, would it? It was definitely that era because it was the week the Band-Aid single went on sale. So we went to HMV, obviously we went to the shops, went to W.H. Smith and HMV,
that's what you do.
All the shops we go to
and
home.
Also, we were always going to McDonald's. That's the other thing you'd think. And it's fucking McDonald's. Because they'd obviously take us uptown into the centre of London. Like we went to a medical museum, it was the first operating theatre, and they let us run wild there. And some kid, I think it was my mate, William, he like ran after one of those, you know, the old Routemaster buses with the open back.
The hop on, hop off thing,
the hop on, hop off.
Yeah.
And he was just showing off. And he ran, he chased a bus. This is like on fucking Oxford Street or something. Jumps on it, just to show off. And he's sort of riding it like one foot and one arm, but the other two failing back. And then he just fucking loses balance. And he was dragged along the fucking road for a bit and then let fucking school trips, some of the fucking antics. You can't believe it. I've always thought my stressful job must be being a teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we have teachers listening, so they might be able to tell us your experiences, but being a teacher and taking kids on a foreign school trip.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a teacher listening, get in touch and let me know. Why would you volunteer for that? Because only bad things can happen. Right? If no one dies or gets severely injured or whatever, then you come back and no one's giving you praise for that or a bonus saying, well done, nobody died, right? But if somebody does die or get ill or an accident happens or gets lost or kidnapped, they're like, right, that's it, mate. Mm. That's on you.
You got prison.
And it's just a nightmare. But we went on a Greece trip in the fifth year.
Fucking hell.
And it was bedlam. These teachers, by that stage, you're 15. The teachers, looking back, are probably only about 5 years older than you, right? And they've known you for 5 years, a lot of them. So you've kind of got to know them quite well. And some of them, obviously, it was to Greece. So it was the artsy teachers who were always the ones who were the best laugh and the most kind of, come on, guys, anyone want to smoke a reefer? It was a lot like that sort of thing, right? And we went to all different places across a week in Greece. So we started in Athens and someone got so pissed that they tried to jump out of the fucking window off like the second floor and that. And then we went to Delphi. And anyway, we ended up in a place called Tolon or something, which was a beach resort, which is a proper holiday place, right? And that was for the final 2 days. And they said, right, now we're here, there's not any excursions. You can hang around on the beach. We're going to go out on a boat one day.
Fucking hell.
And in the evening, you can go up the disco without us.
Fucking hell.
This little fucking Greek town. We went up to this fucking disco and it was fucking mad and there were fights with some of the local Greek lads and stuff like this.
Yeah.
But in the hotel bar, when we got in, the teachers were there and they were not only letting us booze, they were buying us drinks. We were 15. Some of us were 16, some of us were 15.
That can't
happen
now, surely, because everything has to be... They've got to do like a fucking... What do they call it? What's those fucking assessments, the risk assessment? They've got to do that for everything that'll happen now.
I can't believe that more people didn't die on school trips in those days.
You know, teachers are the best of us. Teachers are the best of us. All this stuff they get about, you know, I only work till half three every day.
And then he gets 6 weeks holiday in the summer. And then they go take these kids to Greece. Well, it's just a free holiday for them, innit? If you want a free holiday, get yourself on a place in the sun and piss about for a few days. And then put in an offer 20 grand under the house you looked at. That's a free holiday.
Nikki Chapman does Place in the Sun, or does she do Place? No, she does Escape.
Wanted Down Under.
Yeah. We've been doing a podcast with her. She was how I had spent a nice morning with Bananarama.
Oh, right, through Nikki Chapman.
So she's got that, Escape Down Under. But so she's got the real free holiday. But I tell you this, I don't have experience with it, but like I say, get in touch, let me know if you're a teacher. I imagine that going on a school trip to Greece or anywhere abroad for a week with a bunch of fucking kids, right, is the opposite of relaxing.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. Fucking nightmare.
Right. We're going to leave it there because we ran out of time about 10 minutes ago, but we kept going. But that's what we do.
Because there's that extra value. And yeah, we're late, so you get an extra 10 minutes. Listen to it or don't. I don't care.
Yeah. Too late. You've listened to it now. Right. That's it for this one. We'll be back next week. Mac, the manager of the club, will arrive at the Working Men's Club with some news. And then Rod drives a van after he's had a pint and a scotch.
Oh, so much more to come on yesterday's hero.
Yeah, that's it.
Farewell. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.